Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us. Or is that just you? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Geo is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. Shopping for a new mattress? The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including their award-winning Luxe and Ultra Premium Elite collections, Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts. So how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Not only will the mattress be the best you have slept on, but the setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door for free. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/drink. That's helixsleep.com/drink. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Where are my hoes at?
I'm right here.
Hey guys,
we were just talking about how I was babysitting a child and we were hosing down the flowers outside in their front
yard.
Do you
mean watering the flowers?
Watering the flowers.
Okay,
sorry,
just checking.
I don't know what's going on. English isn't my first language.
Shut up.
And I taught him how to say, where my hoes at?
I love that. No, I don't.
His parents didn't.
I was like, I can't wait for you to have kids. And I was like, oh god, you've already destroyed one of my children.
Yeah, and then when you have human children, that one, Gio's just practice. We're really gonna,
you're doing a great job though.
Go for the full destruction of your human children.
Lord. Welcome back, guys, to us, because we're back in Los Angeles for the first time in 8 years.
A million years.
Woohoo!
I think the last time we recorded, when was the last time we recorded?
It was like,
it was before all of our,
the first week of January, I think.
Yeah.
So like a month and a half ago.
Yeah. The last episode, I like travel back to like 7 episodes ago when we were talking about how we were just about to go on tour.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the last time we recorded.
I know. And here we are back in sunny Los Angeles after quite
a trip. For like only 10 hours and then we're going to be
literally
in Seattle.
Just got an email from Delta as we were recording ads.
Time to check in.
Yeah. And also my email from Delta, in case you're wondering, is an confirmed upgrade for tomorrow. So
shut up,
just
Christine.
So you know,
for the people who haven't come to the live shows and heard all about this nightmare that is Christine on a plane, every single time we go on a flight, which is I don't know, every 5 minutes
every
these days,
5 minutes.
Christine is always fucking upgraded, and Eva and I are sitting in like 27F together, and all of a sudden we get pictures of Christine with like mimosas and she, in the front, and she's like, I miss you.
I miss you guys though. It's sad for me. It's really hard for me.
I don't even remember if we ever told this story. I don't think we've said it on an aired episode yet. But would you like to tell your version of the
Listen, I finally got upgraded at first. I get upgraded to comfort class a lot, which is great because it's free booze, but not always first class. And so I got upgraded to first class on our way to Dallas. And then our flight was delayed 6 hours and we were almost not going to make it to our shows. So I like talked to Delta and they were like, we'll put you on an American flight. And I was like, great. And then they're like, here's your ticket. You're in group 8.
Which Christine really thought that she was going to have like just the most luxurious royal event being on this plane.
I was so excited.
And then all of a sudden she got put in group 8 with me and Eva, by the way.
In a middle seat, by the way.
In a middle seat. And so as we're on the plane walking towards our seats, I could see Christine's eyes just like glaring at all the people in first class being like, you lucky sons of bitches.
I just realized something. This was literally in our last, the live episode that we just posted.
Well, we're saying it again. You got, listen, you guys want to listen? And Christine the whole time was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. I can't believe this. I have to be in group eight like a peasant.
If this plane goes down, don't tell my mother where I was. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell her it was group one.
I'm kidding. I just find it funny because it annoys them so much.
I just think it was hysterical. And, I had a great time watching you in group eight.
Also, a lot of people are asking, like, why I get upgraded. I'm like, honestly, I think it's just because when I was, like, 4 months old, I was already flying to Germany all the time. Right. And so, like, I've had Delta SkyMiles since I was, like, an infant.
Right.
And so now that we're literally flying, like, every... And I have the credit card.
And we are truly flying at least, what, like, 7 times a month, it seems?
Yeah, at least. Yeah. At least. Yeah. And so now with the credit card, too, it's like, well, I just rack them all up and sometimes I get a free mimosa, so...
There you go.
I don't know.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
But it's been a really awesome tour so far.
It has been.
For Seattle tomorrow.
Yes.
Super pumped for that.
Well, this week, I'm also going to Canada, guys.
That's right. This is the big to-do.
I mean, that's all I'm really there for. I might be so excited, I might not even remember to tell a story. I might just stand just up stand there in awe. Also, this 2 days ago, since we've been recording, or I guess 4 days ago now, it was Valentine's Day. So happy belated Valentine's
Day.
Oh,
you too.
What did you do for Valentine's Day?
I wrote you a good poem.
You did. You wrote something.
I wrote something.
You wrote something and you posted it for everyone to see.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
What did you and Blaze do?
Blaze was working, so
classic.
Edited our episode for the show.
Are you doing anything for Valentine's Day? With
I think
him eventually.
Today, maybe we will make some dinner together, but since we leave tomorrow, not too much time. But yeah, no, we had a good time. We made dinner together the night before and watched King of the Hill.
Word.
Super romantic. I know you guys had a big to do yesterday.
Yes, we had so we had Valentine's Day and we didn't really do anything because I have a lot to catch you up on, but basically my mom was in town for a week before Valentine's Day.
Right.
And so when she showed up like the day after we came back from all of our shows.
Right.
So we really didn't have any, I didn't have any time to just relax because as soon as I got home, my mom was here. So I wanted to make sure she was having fun.
Yeah, that was the day I left town too. So
yeah.
We were like just.
So it's been a wild ride emotionally. So I think for Valentine's Day, we just sat down. That was all we did.
Oh, that's nice.
And then.
We don't really get to sit down anymore.
No,
so
it's really. I mean, we're sitting down right now, but I mean, you know, but mentally, mentally, we never get to sit down.
Mentally, we're not sitting down.
And
mentally, we're like screaming and running up mountains and trying to get shit done.
And so then we had Valentine's Day. And then the next day, Allison and I were getting ready all day for our housewarming party that you came
right,
to.
That was a blast, by
thank
the way.
Thank you.
It was beautiful.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So it's just been a wild ride. So yesterday happened to also be the day so we're recording this right now on February 18th.
Correct.
Which, if you remember, 2 years ago today, our third episode came out.
If you think I remember anything from 2 years ago.
I know you
ago.
Don't. That's why I'm saying it.
Okay.
2 years ago today was the episode that released where I heard Allison's name for the first time.
You know how I know that? Because you posted it all over the internet.
You're
yes,
damn right.
I saw that.
Which means, and based on how we used to record,
you're
where we
such
would...
such a psycho.
We would record... No, you're a psycho because we used to record and then the next day you would spend all day editing it and release it.
Yeah.
Which
well,
because
the episodes were also 6 hours that we recorded, so...
Yikes. Which means yesterday, 2 years ago, was the first time I ever saw her picture.
Aww.
Because you showed
right,
me her picture.
Right, that's true, because we recorded the day before. Yeah.
So instead of Valentine's Day, we celebrated that of like two years of
precious.
Knowing each other.
That's precious.
Or at least I knew her. She didn't really know me yet. But I remember seeing her picture with you and being like, Christine, I need to meet her.
Yes.
So
and I was like, stop creeping on my friends, you pervert.
And then 2 years later, it was yesterday. So I took her on a whole surprise date and we woke up at like 9 a.m. and from 9 a.m. to like midnight, I had things planned for
her. And
that
was the day after your party. So
yeah,
that was quite
a lot to do.
Well,
so we went to all of our favorite spots. We actually, we ran into someone who recognized me at Donut Friend. I think her name was Kate. And she was very nice. And then when we went inside, Allison got recognized. They thought that someone thought she was an actress.
Wait, for real?
Yeah. So Allison didn't get recognized, but her face got recognized.
Wait, that's amazing.
So we both got recognized in like 5 seconds.
What actress?
I don't know.
Oh, that's cool.
But anyway, yesterday was a very busy day, but.
Oh my God.
A lot to catch you up on.
Yeah. Well, I was in New Orleans for a while.
Tell me everything about it.
It was super great. Blaze and I did kind of like I guess that was sort of our Valentine's. It was like a pre-Valentine's.
Yeah, that sounds like a
adventure.
Valentine's date to me.
And so for Christmas, Blaze surprised me with tickets to New Orleans and like We stayed in a haunted hotel. And
did you see anything? Did you feel anything?
I didn't. Well, there was one night where I kept waking up like every hour. And there was one night where I was so scared. I don't know what happened, but I was so scared that I like refused to open my eyes because I was like, I don't want to see anything. And apparently, so the hotel is called the Omni Royal, I think.
Mm.
And right in French Quarter. And so I had to pee, but there's this like ghost maid that supposedly like stands it by your bed at night and like tucks you in. And so I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I was, or like around 3, and I was so scared that I walked to the bathroom with like my hand over my eyes and I was like trying to pee with like,
I would have just slept with the lights on that entire
time. I was so scared. And then the next morning, and I all night that night had like the most horrific, brutal, violent nightmares. Like,
no way.
To the point that I woke up crying like 3 times. And then the next morning, Blaze looks like, we're both just like a mess. And I'm like, how did you sleep last night? And he's like, God, like I had just the worst nightmares of my life. And I was
really?
Like, what happened? I mean, it's probably something like we ate or like all the hurricanes we drank, but so that was like kind of a rough night, but the rest of it was absolutely great. We didn't see anything there, but we did go on a ghost tour, obviously, like
so excited.
The second we got there, I was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And we went on a ghost tour and we saw the LaLaurie Mansion, which he says it's pronounced LaLaurie, but whatever. Oh,
well, we've been fucking it up.
I know.
Since episode 19.
He's like, oh, we're going to see the LaLaurie Mansion. I was like, you mean LaLaurie? Oh. He was like, no.
Oh, yikes. There's so many people who have been wanting to correct us for so long. And they were like, in time, they'll learn.
I was like, well, I'm not going to change it because I can't. Like, my brain just
won't. It's too late.
It's too late. So we went there. It was really fucking creepy. Apparently, you're not allowed to walk underneath the overhang.
Mm.
Like, nope. People cross the street because it's just...
So haunted?
Yeah. Like, I guess it's, like, cursed or whatever.
Ooh.
And he said, like, he had one tour where he walked a guy and his kids. He walked his kids under there just to be like, haha.
Oh, and no.
He and his wife walked through, and then the guy just, like, fucking fell over and had a seizure. And they had to call 911.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, and he's like, that's real. Like, I don't know if he... And he, like, didn't have a medical condition or anything and shit like that. So we were like, let's avoid. So the whole time we were walking around New Orleans, I had that pinned. I was like, I don't want to accidentally turn the corner and walk under this stupid building.
I had it pinned. Maybe everyone in New Orleans does.
Apparently, people were avoiding it like crazy. And then, so then our tour guide at the end, of course, this is the coolest city of my life. You can wander around with just booze in your hand everywhere on the streets.
It's called Christine Land.
It's called my hometown now. Like, you know how you're from Canada?
It's New Germany, yes.
Yes, it's New Germany. And
yes, how I'm from Canada, exactly. Yes, you're from New Orleans. Got it.
And so we're wandering around drinking during this ghost tour, which like I can wander around on a fucking ghost tour and drink, which is just the coolest thing.
It sounds like everything you've ever wanted.
Yes. And so I got my liquid courage in a little bit. So by the end of the tour, I went up and I was like, hey, so I have this podcast. And poor Blaze is like, oh, here we go. And I was like, so I have this podcast. And his name is Bobby, by the way. And I said, oh, we're coming to New Orleans in September. By the way, guys, we're coming to New Orleans in September.
Woohoo!
And I'd really like to have some suggestions of anything like creepy that you know, because he said his family has lived there for like 3 centuries.
Or oh, shit.
Insane. That's probably wrong. And he's probably listening to this.
If that's like, the case, though, like it would be a crime to ever leave.
Like 1870s. So that's not quite 3 centuries.
Maybe. In American math, it is. So.
In our math, it is. In our math, it's whatever we want it to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe he said 3 generations. I don't know. And
isn't America like not 300 years old?
Yeah, but there's a lot happening down there.
Sure.
Still,
you I'm know? Gonna just trust you.
Well, he said 1870s, I think.
Okay,
who knows. And so yeah, he gave me some suggestions, and then he's like, oh, that's funny, I actually showed a tour around last night, like a private, or I'm sorry, I showed a podcast around last night privately. And I was like, oh, which one? And he's like, I think they're called my brother and me. And I was like,
and then Christine dropped
it
dead.
And I screamed, and Blaze was like, oh no. And I lost my mind, because the next day we were going to their show in New Orleans, and I was like, this is just the best little, like,
you were fangirling.
It was so cool, because I looked it up and I'm like, there are so many tours in New Orleans on a Saturday night, so many tour guides, and just I happen to have the one who toured them the night before. It just felt very special.
The universe wanted it to happen.
Yeah, and also their show is great. Anyway, I feel like I'm just talking really fast because so much happened, but we did a tour of the St. Louis Cemetery No. 1, which is like their oldest cemetery, I believe, and it is the coolest thing ever. And Nicolas Cage, you talked about this, right? That Nicolas Cage bought the LaLaurie Mansion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he bought it, and then Immediately, the IRS was like, you owe $16 million. So he was like, I don't have that. So right. It was seized from him.
Oh, shit.
But he had also bought a fucking, like, mausoleum, like, a tomb in the fucking St. Louis Cemetery.
Oh, wow.
But since the IRS can't, like, I guess in Louisiana or New Orleans, I'm not sure, there's a law that the IRS can't seize your final resting place. So they, like, couldn't take his tomb. So when you go through the St. Louis Cemetery, it's, like, this gorgeous, like, old Catholic cemetery with, like, beautiful architecture and, like, really old, like, crumble it, like, what you picture New Orleans to look like. And then there's this fucking gigantic pyramid in the middle of it. Like, this gigantic pyramid. And they're like, this is Nicolas Cage's tomb.
Oh, no.
And there's this quote on it. Where he's like, oh, it goes back to my Catholic roots. No, it's a quote from National Treasure, by the way.
I was going to say, I kind of hope it's from National Treasure, but then I thought there's no way that will happen.
But the fact that, like, he should just own it, but he pretends like it's,
is
like,
he considering himself the National Treasure?
Probably. I mean,
interesting.
I think we all know the answer to that. But so that was just a really weird twist on that story, that I heard that story, that he bought the LaLaurie Mansion, all his shit went to hell, he lost all his money, and then we saw his tomb the next day, so that was
very cool.
Anyway, but it was really fun and awesome, and I went into a little voodoo shop and
cool,
got you something.
Hold no on. Way! Why am I surprised every time? I'm like, I should have just expect that, huh?
Well, so, oh, sorry, this is loud. So I went to your housewarming thing, and I already brought Allison, like, I got, like, coffee and stuff from Café du Monde, so that's that, but you don't really drink coffee anyway.
No, but I did see it, and it looked very nice.
And so then, for you, oh, shit, sorry. So this is just saying, because I felt bad, because last time...
What? Why are you bad?
Well, because when I went to Belize, I feel like I didn't really understand that you liked hot sauce. So then now...
Oh, this is the place for hot sauce.
I know,
sauce.
And we went, and I tried 46 hot sauces and picked my favorite.
you tried also, them with your mouth?
Yes, they had a big, huge tasting place, and... I tried them all, and they all have...
Oh, shut up.
They all have, like, kind of Louisiana or New Orleans names.
Oh, wow. Warning. Pretty hot. Oh, wait. Okay, so this one... I'm sorry. Is that why you got it? On the label, it says, not just for men. This is a welcoming, inclusive...
Yes.
It's called Bayou Love Potion number 9.
I picked that one specifically for you.
I love it. A pepper sauce. Love a good pepper sauce. And then there's two more.
I'm missing something.
That's the bag for that one.
Shit, I'm missing something.
Ooh, shit. This one looks good. This one's called Hot Party in Your Mouth Sauce on Bourbon Street. Ooh, I like the little painting.
Hot Party in Your Mouth.
That's what they call me.
Oh, sorry, I left all the price tags on, didn't I?
And then, I'm not looking. And then this is, this, I'm so glad I saw this one last.
What's that one?
So this one, it has a skeleton in an electric chair.
Oh, yes.
It's a habanero sauce, which I'm very excited about. It's called Louisiana Execution.
Okay.
And it says, caught and convicted of stealing habaneros, sentenced to die in the electric chair.
Fuck.
Warning, habanero addiction could happen to you.
See, this is the thing, is I had to pick ones that really tasted good, but also had really cool labels, so...
Oh, for sure. No, this
quite
is
a process.
And also, I do like that you went through and got different types.
Right, right. I wanted to get a little of variety. And now that I know that you like hot sauce, because I didn't know when I went to Belize, and now I'm like, oh, shit, I should have known.
No, so there was a while, I think I brought it up last time, but there was a time where I, like, was actually studying, like, peppers.
Like
and
the,
like,
Scoville scale and stuff, yeah.
And I was trying to, there was a whole kit on, like, make your own hot sauce, and I was doing that. I was very, very into hot sauce for a very long time.
So well, those are really good. I tried them all. At least I really liked them, and Blaze did too.
I'm very excited for this Louisiana Execution. That's my favorite.
That's, like, right down our alley. Also, so I have something else for you from the voodoo shop, but in here, it's not in here. I think it's still in my suitcase. I'm going to go grab it, but I did find lemon in here.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. Hang on. The lemon? The fucking lemon?
Yeah. He was in there. Blaze got really mad, so I had to put him in there.
Tell me what city he's traveled from again?
I don't remember. Where were we?
It was San Jose.
San Jose.
That's the lemon from San Jose. Oh, my God. Okay, so nobody knows about...
Don't throw it away.
Why? Give me a reason. Blaze.
Throw it away. No!
See, Blaze just came in to say throw it away.
Not my lemon!
Did you know this is still here?
She brought it to fucking New Orleans.
This thing is globetrotting, and I don't like it. What the... So for those of you who don't know what lemon is,
I'm crying.
We were in San Jose and we were staying in an Airbnb, and Christine, naturally, because all she does is read about true crime, decided that she was going to check under all the beds and in the closets and everything to make sure there wasn't a murderer in the
Airbnb. Especially in an Airbnb, you never know.
While she was looking under the bed, and she found a dried old, God knows how long this has been around, lemon.
Okay, it's underneath the bed.
Listen, guys, hang on. Here's the, I'm putting the microphone by the table. Listen to this fucking lemon. It is rock hard.
Okay, the thing is, I looked under the bed and I was like, what is that? And I got my flashlight on my phone and I was like, that's a lemon. So I crawled down there. And indeed, it was a lemon, and I just think that's the funniest thing ever. And so then I...
And so then she took a picture of it from her room and sent it to me and Eva, and then I texted her and said, I'll Venmo you $50 if you eat it. And instead of eating it, she befriended it, which is so much worse, because I did not offer that bet. And so she's been carrying it around ever since.
Because it makes me laugh.
What is wrong with you? And then she literally brought it to New Orleans with her.
Well, Blaise said it's rotten, but it's not. It's just mummified.
It really is like a bomb. Like, hon.
It's a mummified.
That's literally it next on my. Hon. This is it. I'm going to hit it against my head just so you know how hard it is. I don't know if you can hear it or not.
You can.
Like.
That's so hard. Instead of a clink, that's what we're going to do now. Just bang the lemon.
That is such. It's literally. It's turned into a rock.
Well, the lemon's my friend, and I don't really understand why everyone has such a problem with it.
It's such an odd
friendship.
Although
it was in my purse, and then I accidentally pulled it out at a restaurant, and Blaise made me walk back to the hotel and put it in my suitcase. So, well, he told me to put it in the trash.
You're a psychopath.
He told me to put it in the trash, and I'm
confused.
Well, I did put it in the trash, but then I took it back out, remember, because I felt bad.
I have heard, and someone did tweet out about this, saying that if you put a lemon under your bed, apparently it's supposed to absorb. It's like a
Well, they didn't say under the bed. They said in the corner of the room, and people do that as like a presentation. Oh. Like, put citrus in the room, not under the bed, though. Like, I think that was just dropped there.
No, the one that said that, like, it, like, absorbs negative energy. Oh.
Because it's like, I think people say that, like, if you keep it in the room, it absorbs. But I don't think, like, if you roll one under the bed, I think it's like.
I'm going to let that be the answer to this so it makes some sense.
No, because that means he's full of negative energy. And I can tell he's a good, good lemon.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, I didn't mean for that to be a thing. Let me grab the last gift. Sorry, real quick. Okay, well, I can't find it. I honest to God.
That is real voodoo.
I mean,
it
seriously.
Just disappeared. I just, Christine just paused the recording to go find it, and I watched her run across her entire house trying to find it in different rooms,
really,
and it's
sad.
Nowhere to be found.
I don't know where it is. Even Blaise helped me look for it. I guess I'll tell you what it is.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is it in your car?
No.
So you really don't know where it is at all?
No.
All right, well, what is it?
It's very weird. It's not in any of my suitcases.
Do you want to tell me, or you want it to be a surprise for the future?
Well, yeah, I'll just give it to you next time.
Okay.
Yeah, that's better, because I don't really remember what it is.
Okay. What?
Okay. I was drinking a lot of hurricanes.
Moving on.
Okay.
How long have we been ranting? I'm so sorry to everyone who's new to this show.
Only 28 minutes.
Shit.
Well,
good
that's
luck,
also
Eva.
No, that's also the ads. Anyway, so sorry about that. I will find it for next time.
So sorry to Eva having to edit this down, and for everyone who's listening who doesn't like us bantering in the beginning. Sorry,
yeah.
We just haven't seen each other in a long time.
It's been a long time.
Oh my. Well, with that being said,
we'll do the rest later.
We'll tell a story now, I suppose.
I suppose.
You've probably heard about Burrow. It's a new kind of furniture company known for timeless design, durable materials, and details that make life in your space easier. Last year, they brought their expertise outside with the launch of their outdoor line, and now they're adding more must-have pieces to the collection. Dunes offers seating, dining, and lounger options, while Scout is a new folding chair upholstered in a chic woven fabric. Made of durable materials made for all seasons, weather-resistant teak, stainless alloy, quick-dry, stain-resistant cushions, love that, with easy assembly and disassembly. They also just launched a new standing desk co-pilot with adjustable height, a durable scratch-resistant body with built-in storage to make working at home easier than ever. And of course, there's Burrow's legacy seating collections like the Nomad and Range, now available in new colors. So no matter what you choose, you always get free shipping on every order, which can run up to $100 for larger items, and that is a win. You know Emma and I love our Burrow, and now that they have outdoor furniture, I'm very excited to get my lounge on. We have this balcony, and I am always looking for something to make it comfy but also look chic, you know, because it's outside, everyone can see it, and I want to look stylish while I'm bird watching. I love Burrow. It's easy to assemble. It ships free. I can't recommend them highly enough. And that's why We Drink listeners can get 15% off their first order at burrow.com/drink. That's Burrow, burrow.com/drink for 15% off. burrow.com/drink. When you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else will get it instead. It's like when you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/drink. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/drink. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
So this is something new that we're doing. We are very aware that because at our live shows, we are doing different stories that don't actually end up getting aired unless they're, unless like we record them at the venue.
Right. So we'll record like 20 shows in like 2 weeks and then, or well, like 3 weeks, and then we have to pick one to release. We can't, we're not releasing all of them.
Right. Yeah. And so what we have been doing is we'll release every now and then a live show that we've done, but sometimes at venues they don't actually, they're not able to record the live show,
right?
Which means that when we tell that story to the audience, that's the last time anyone ever hears
and it's
it.
It's like tragic because we pick stories that we fucking love for each other.
Love. And so anyone who has been in a particular audience, if we don't record it, it doesn't get aired anywhere, and we never tell the story again because we try to do original stories all the time,
right?
But sometimes there's stories that mean a lot to us and we want to be able to tell them. So
right.
This is, I'm actually, I don't know, I think you are too, but I'm telling a story that we've actually covered at a live show that happened to not get recorded.
Right.
Just because this story is so good and it's a story that so many people have requested. It would be such a...
Even I, after you did it, I was like, can we do that again on the show? Because I loved it so much.
And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it would be unfair to have been able to only tell that story one time to a small group of people when so many people want to hear it.
And also for anybody who's thinking, which I thought at first too, kind of a concern of like, well, you know, you guys usually tell stories you don't know and stuff like.
And so the reactions are raw.
If you think I remember what happened in November,
we when don't.
M told the story, I don't remember a goddamn thing. So
truly, I mean, we, just like how we've said before on the show that people will, you know, DM us or talk to us about references from like a year ago. We have no idea.
No.
Every, like when you just said that, you were like, I think you said that Nicolas Cage bought the LaLaurie Mansion. Until you said that, I never, since I said it in episode 19, I haven't thought about that information. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt that you said it. Right. I don't know.
Thank you. And I said, yeah, I said that, but I probably might not have. I don't know. But so basically what we're saying is if you are disappointed that we're doing this because you think the reaction isn't real, we promise this is actually our, we're rehearing it and relearning it all over again.
And I think we're doing stories from different cities just in case if you were in the New York audience or if you were in I'm doing a story from one of the DC shows.
Yes.
So like, if you're in those audiences, you'll still get a new story, so don't worry about it. And they'll be different. I mean, we tell, as you know, we're the kings of banter. No, I can't even
pretend. Kings of banter.
We're the broads of broadcasting, but it's not going to be the exact same as it was.
No, and also I can promise you, let's pretend that Christine even knew all the information about my story and her reaction isn't going to be real, which is not true, but let's pretend.
Yeah.
My reaction is certainly going to be real because I haven't looked at these notes since I said them in November.
November.
So I actually don't remember. I'm really going to be like winging this whole story
because
I have not looked at them.
I don't
even
remember
a little
mine
bit.
Either. And so I have no fucking clue.
Good. So good luck to everyone listening in on this chaos.
I'm excited actually. Cause I picked one that I really like telling too. So it'll be
fun. Good.
Yeah.
Well, this is the story that I did for the New York Comedy Fest at the Gramercy in November. And this is the story that has been highly requested by many of you. Including Christine. This is the story of Dear David.
Oh my God. I'm so fucking pumped that we're doing this.
Which like, and we've thought about doing this one on the show anyway, because, because some cool things happened while we were doing the show.
Right.
Well, you'll find out. You'll find
out. Okay.
And also, I do apologize. You guys are not going to be getting as great of an experience as the people at the Gramercy because at the time I was showing the pictures along with the tweets. But there are websites. I think Bustle.com actually has an entire chronology of every single tweet and picture. So if you would like to follow along there, you can probably type in on Google like Bustle Dear David. And you'll see all the pictures.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It was a very picture heavy show, so I'm sorry that I'm gonna have to kind of just,
but the story itself is so fucking creepy, so
it's way creepy.
Doesn't even matter.
So okay, so Dear David, so in this thread, basically it's a Dear David is this guy on Twitter named Moby Dickhead is his handle. His name is Adam, and he decided that he was going to live tweet his experiences,
right,
that he was having in his apartment,
right,
and he thought he was being haunted by a little ghost, and it's a very well documented story. So
right.
Basically, in this thread, Adam says that there is a ghost of a child trying to kill him in his apartment.
Oh, fantastic.
And it started at a dream, but it seems too real. So, during a bout of sleep, he saw a child in a green chair by his bed.
Bout of sleep?
In a bout.
A bout of sleep.
During a bout of sleep.
Is that what we call it nowadays?
I feel like that's something I must have said.
Maybe a sleep paralysis? No, just a
during bout. A session of sleep paralysis.
During one of those sleep sessions, you know.
Anyway, he was taking a nap, and then he...
Sorry, I just
I just read it and didn't even realize I had written that. So, while he was sleeping, and he was he had sleep paralysis, and he saw a child in a green chair by his bed. So, I also forgot my laptop today, so I'm doing this all from my phone. So, we are going to have to bounce back and forth between...
Fantastic.
...me finding the tweets and reading them for you, as well as reading my notes.
Yay.
So, the very first tweet was... I think on August 7th, and Adam wrote, so my apartment is currently being haunted by the ghost of a dead child, and he's trying to kill me.
Fuck. What year was that, by the way? 2017, right?
2017.
Okay.
The first time I saw him, I was experiencing sleep paralysis and saw a child sitting in a green chair at the foot of my bed. Okay, good. So I've been doing a good job so far in these two bullets. Okay.
I already have chills, and like, I don't know why, but that's terrifying.
So basically, he then tweeted out and said... He had a huge mishapen head. Misshapen, Christ alive. Can you tell I haven't... Truly, I have not done this in November.
I wanted to hear if you would hear it.
Half-hazardly. All right, so I was experiencing sleep paralysis.
I had a wonton head.
I'm 26. I was experiencing sleep paralysis, and I saw a child sitting in the green rocking chair at the foot of my bed. He had a huge misshapen head that was dented on one side, and I did my best to draw it. So this is where a picture showed up on the projector.
Fuck.
Christine, I will show you the picture again. Can you please describe for the people?
Oh, God. Oh, I don't want to insult this creepy child, but it is like a child looking at you, but then there's a huge dent in his head, and like it has smashed half his face in.
It's truly like, imagine Tommy Pickles with beady eyes and half of his head.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. It's a really unfortunate look.
So... From there...
If you saw that in your sleep, like, you'd never sleep again, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely not. The child apparently got out of his chair. So, he did the drawing, and then he goes on to explain more of the story. The child got out of the chair and came closer to the bed when Adam woke up screaming.
Oh, fuck.
So, that was the first time.
Okay, so he approached him in bed.
So, a couple nights later, the next dream that he had was of him in a library... Where a girl said, have you seen... So he's having a dream in a library, and someone comes up to him and says, you've seen Dear David, haven't you?
Stop! I hate this!
The girl went on and said that Dear David appears at midnight, and if you say Dear David first, before you finish your sentence, you can ask him any question you want. You can ask two questions, though. If you ask a third question, he'll kill you. So you only get two questions, and you have to say Dear David both times first.
Okay, so like Simon Says.
Sure.
But not.
But exactly. It's like Simon Says, kill me. Simon Says, keep me alive, please.
It's like the adult version of Simon Says.
Right. So a
but
few
not
weeks...
in a sexual way. No. Sorry, I'm going to change the
wow,
subject.
Here we go. A few weeks pass, and Adam has another night of sleep paralysis where he sees David in the chair staring at him.
Fuck.
Adam says, Dear David, how did you die? David says, an accident in a store.
Oh, God.
And then Adam says, Dear David, what happened in the store? And David said, a shelf was pushed on my head. Then Adam made a mistake.
No.
And he asked a third question.
No.
And he also didn't say, Dear David. So he said, who pushed the shelf? And he woke up afraid, knowing that he shouldn't have asked the third question.
You fucked up.
And so he starts investigating, because now he's seen this guy a couple times. So he's just getting curious.
Getting some info.
So he searches everywhere for New York City, a kid in a store, an accident, all that combined, but he didn't find anything.
I was gonna say, that's kind of probably a lot of results to
NYC kid store accident. In this same time, He is also moving from the bottom of the apartment. He's in the bottom apartment of his duplex currently, and he's moving into the top one. I guess someone...
Oh.
It doesn't really matter, but he's switching rooms.
Right.
He said that when he moved up there originally, there were no ghosts, so he thought that maybe David lost him.
Oh, so he... You mean like that he lost it?
Like maybe now that he wasn't sleeping in that room anymore, maybe
like left him behind.
Maybe dear David couldn't find him.
Oh, perfect.
So now David is...
He lost him. That's the creepiest way to put that.
So then Adam, however, starts noticing that something is going on outside of his door.
Oh, fuck.
And his two cats begin staring at the door every night at midnight. And one night he decided to look through the peephole and he thought he saw something move.
Mm-mm.
So I feel really bad for the people who are not looking at the pictures while I'm telling this story. This is, I feel, because there's so many creepy things that are involved in these pictures. But basically I'm going to scroll down. I'm going to have you, if I can find it, have you describe it. So
if you're driving, don't try to Google it. But
yeah, this is
not...
definitely the story that you don't listen while you're driving. You like are following me on Twitter. So Adam posts, for the past four nights, my cats gather at the front door at exactly midnight and just stare at it, almost like something's on the other side. And here's a picture of confirmation.
Okay, two kittens sitting at the door, staring underneath the like crack on the door.
Yes. And then he says, when I opened the door and turned on the hall light, nothing was there, but my cats seemed unnerved, bushy tails, etc.
Ooh.
And that's where I am right now. Dear David found me, I think. I don't know what to do. I'll keep you updated.
Fuck.
So.
This is terrible.
From there.
Sorry. And he lives alone. Like, oh God, this is my worst nightmare.
And keep in mind, the story that I'm telling is, it's still long, but it's an abridged version. I tried to cut out some of the less scary parts.
Right.
So if you go through Bustle, you'll see that there's some parts that I am missing. So in my story, what happens next is that he's starting to see things through the peephole. And Adam starts taking a few pictures at this time through the peephole. Oh. And in one of them, he sees a dark mist.
Oh, God.
And in the first one, the dark mist looks like it's hiding.
Oh.
Like behind the stairs. So one night,
about that.
One night he decided to look through the peephole and thought he saw something move. And for the next week, the cat started staring at the door at midnight nonstop. It was just always expected. So a few nights later, Adam starts trying out a sleep talk app to record sounds while he's sleeping. Because he's like, the cats are looking out the door. There's this dark mist that keeps showing up.
Like at nighttime.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, I'm just going to have a recorder going while I'm asleep.
I fucking hate this.
And so the cats keep going to the door at midnight, and Adam puts salts around the doorway before he goes to bed because he's getting afraid. Which is fair. I would also probably put a ring of salt around the door.
I feel like I remember when this was going on because people kept tweeting it at us.
Yeah.
We had the podcast at the time. But, like, didn't he just go buy, like, he bought, like, salt
He was
from
like,
Ralph's.
I don't know what kind of salt this he is. Like, he was like, hopefully this works.
Some Kroger brand iodized salt. Like, I'll just pour it all over the floor. The poor cats are like, no.
The cats are like, why did you do that to
this
me?
This isn't even tasty.
So, yeah. So he starts putting salt on the floor while he's sleeping. And the sleep app on the first night actually caught three interesting sounds.
Ah, fuck.
They all happened between 2 and 3 a.m. The first was a snap and a heavy step. The second was a whole clip of electrical static that wasn't there before. And the third was another snap. And it sounded like an electrical snap.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, as I was saying this on stage,
you're right.
One of the light bulbs on the above us on stage snapped and sizzled, and there was a huge spark, and everyone in the theater freaked out.
Well, the bulb blew, like the bulb completely blew out. Because then later,
I didn't know. I just heard I heard an electrical snap behind me, and I heard everyone go.
It was one of those things where everyone went, "Whoa!" Like the whole fucking audience.
It looked like we had planned it. We did not plan that.
And it was very scary because the bulb blew, and then later, we were at the Gramercy, and it's like usually a concert venue, and so we were talking to the people backstage, and without even like us asking, but I remember the guy was like, or I think our booking agent Andrew or somebody was like talking to the tech guys, and they were like, yeah, we've never had a bulb blow out like that, like during even a concert when it's like loud and crazy and there's like amps going. And they were like, yeah, those bulbs just don't blow, like we change them every couple
so
months.
So weird.
We were
they like recently just changed them.
Yeah, they had just changed them, and they were like, we test them and never had this happen. And we were like, don't tell us that.
As the words coming out of my mouth were an electrical snap,
that was actually
and a sizzle,
very frightening.
So those were the three sounds that got recorded on his sleep app that night. Then Adam went on a trip and he came back with an instant Polaroid camera, which is funny. On his Twitter, he said something like, getting the fuck out of my haunted house. So
yeah, he's like packing my bag.
He's like, see ya. So while he was out, he took some when he got back with his instant Polaroid, he took some pictures around the apartment, and they were totally normal shots.
Wait, sorry. who do you think watched it? What sucker do you think he talked into watching his cats that weekend? Just, you have a free place to stay.
I'd be like, mm-mm.
I'll pay you. Don't worry. Just hang out at my place.
Like, just don't. If you hear anything, just ignore it. Just ignore it.
Dream weekend job. Not really.
Also, just put some salt around the front of the door.
Don't mind all the salt piles all over the house. Just leave them be. Don't mind the child in the room with a bashed in head.
Right. Exactly. And don't ask him questions. Mm-mm. So he took some pictures around the apartment and they were totally normal. And then this is where it got really juicy for me. I got really stoked about this part. He decides that he's going to open the door and take a picture of the hallway while it is pitch black.
Oh, fuck.
Hang on. Oh, yeah. I'm reading on my phone. So my notes keep like zooming out and I'm like, oh, shit, I don't know where I am. Basically, he took a picture of the hallway while the light was on,
right,
and the picture turned out pitch black, right, as if there were no...
As if someone had, like, just, like, covered up the...
As if someone just covered up the entire hole,
right,
of the camera. So he tried to debunk it, and he ripped open a new pack of film to see if they started black, and it just, like, maybe didn't develop, but it was all white. He also took a picture with his finger over the lens to see if that's what made it black, but he actually, like, took a picture of him covering up the entire lens, and you could still see light coming through, like, the border of his fingertips.
Right.
So that wasn't what it was. And he also tried to take a picture of the hallway with his phone on instead of just his Polaroid. So he took a picture side by side, one with his phone, one with his Polaroid. And the picture on his phone was a normal picture of a lit up hallway. And on his Polaroid, it came out pitch black. So comments.
Didn't he? Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I don't know if you're going to talk about this.
What's that?
Like, of him taking... Like, didn't he post a video of him taking the photo so that you could literally see it?
Yes. You didn't... I was not going to say that, so thank you.
I just remember people being like, you probably just fucking, like, took a picture with...
No, he took a video of himself on his phone taking a picture with the Polaroid and then watched it develop.
Right, like, no editing.
Whew, it was super creepy.
Ugh.
So there are comments from tweets or conspiracy pages. Some say that they are also... So, like, as he's posting these things, people who are following these tweets are now saying that they are starting to see David. And one said that he saw David sitting on his sink when he went to the bathroom in the middle of the night, which was super creepy.
If I fucking see David, I swear to God, I cannot handle this. This is so spooky to me.
So, a couple days later, he posted a picture of him saging the house. And the next day, there was a tweet that said, "Sage did not work."
Ugh!
That night, he had another dream with David sitting on the couch and staring at him. And the sleep app that he was using was recording for the next several nights, and in a row for several nights, it was just complete static from like 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. Oh, wait, no, not 3 a.m. Starting at 3 a.m., it would go for 5 full minutes. It was just complete electrical static that was not supposed to be there.
Okay.
So Adam had a dream that David was dragging him by the arm through an empty warehouse.
Oh, my God.
So that was the dream, and he was having these dreams somewhere around the time that the sleep app was happening. So all of a sudden, the electrical static would happen.
Oh, God damn it.
It would be the last thing that he recorded, and then when he woke up from he would wake up and check the sleep app, and that sound was happening.
Fucking A, man.
So he had the dream that he was being dragged around in an empty warehouse. The next day, Adam woke up with a bruise on his arm, which he has a picture of. He showed the bruise on his arm. He also... When he woke up and saw the bruise, he decided he was going to go downstairs and get coffee, and he walked past a repair store that he walks by all the time, and it is always super busy. I remember it being like some sort of like the hot dog carts, like street food vendor carts. It was a repair shop for those kind of carts. During this time, during the weekend, it was always really busy because everyone was getting their carts repaired.
Sure.
So he said that it always used to be super busy, but on this particular day, that warehouse happened to be completely gutted and abandoned.
Oh.
And it looked like the warehouse from his dream.
Oh, no.
And the only thing left in the warehouse, apparently it was just totally, everything was ripped out of there, except for a green chair.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? I don't remember that at all.
Which, if you recall, that was the chair that he remembers seeing Dear David in his dream, in the first dream.
This one gets me so good. I don't know. It's so fucking...
I have goosebumps right now.
I've had goosebumps this whole time.
So he thought it was a coincidence and tried to ignore it. And then next, his cats are still going to the door every night.
These poor kitties.
And it's getting early and earlier. So it's not just like midnight anymore. The cats are showing up like 10 p.m. and not leaving the door.
Oh, my God.
So at the same time that the cats are gathering, Adam starts getting phone calls from an unmarked number.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I get like 40 of those a day.
True. I mean, maybe he just like has to pay his student loans or something. And that's what Dear David's just a collection agency.
Oh my God. I mean, they know how to get millennials.
It's like, we'll haunt you until you pay.
We'll come into your fucking sleep paralysis.
So The cats are gathering. He starts getting these phone calls, and he was getting calls every night at the exact same time.
No.
And he was ignoring them. And he finally decided to pick up one night, and he heard the same electric static sound from his sleep app.
No, thank you.
And a small voice whispered, hello.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you. No, thank you.
And then Adam said, it wasn't quite a greeting.
Oh, God.
It was just a flat statement, so quiet that I could barely hear it. Adam had another trip coming up, and he bought a nanny cam for the cats. And he recorded 24/7 and would send alerts to his phone whenever motion was detected. So that same night, two things sent alarms to his phone. One was a video of his green chair rocking by itself in the living room.
Oh, so he had a green chair.
He did happen to have a green chair. Okay. But the green chair was rocking in the middle of the night by itself.
Okay.
And these videos are also on Twitter, and they are way creepy.
They are actually very frightening, because you can tell it's like from one of those cameras. Like, yeah, it's Nest like cameras or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so there's a chair rocking, and then there's he has like a turtle shell decoration on his wall, and it falls by itself.
Fucking no. And there's no cat knocking it off.
And there's no cat knocking it off. You just watch it fall
Didn't
by itself.
Did he talk about that turtle shell and said he got it on like a trip somewhere? It was like a...
I think so.
It was something like he got it from a...
It had some sort of significance.
Like some native symbolism or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. And he also said that he's noticing at this point that most things that are being touched and like interacted with your David happen to be green.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
And a turtle shell is kind of green.
Thank God those cats are not green.
Can you imagine? Am I right? So a week later, another video comes out of his cats freaking out.
Fuck, these poor cats.
They're clearly looking at something that isn't there. And then all of a sudden, a jar on the table moves by itself.
Fuck.
One of the cats named Maxwell. Aww. He is meerkatting in the video for hours, which for him is an odd behavior. Meerkatting is when they're like on their hind legs looking at something,
right, with their like paws kind of up.
Yeah. And so he kept looking for hours.
That poor baby. Don't they do that when
they're kind of scared and curious about
like
what they're looking
what
at
out. Yeah.
And so 2 weeks later, Adam updates us that he has been having intense nightmares, one of them rolling over and seeing a severed head with a bloody spine attached snaking down the bed.
Fuck!
Laying next to him, and the head was staring at him and smiling.
Okay, part of this too is that like we did this live, and I had to like remember that my mother-in-law was in the audience, so was our agent, and like a lot of important
people. We were trying not to cuss.
So
we were trying
to be
respectful.
I'm trying to keep myself together on stage. I'm probably wearing a skirt. Oh, I was wearing a dress. I'm like trying to like look presentable, but this is just making me like fall out of my fucking chair now.
So Adam asks, "What happened to you?" And the bloody severed head says, "It feels great." And then Adam woke up.
Oh, God, and it's smiling. I'm going to die.
Another commenter also said,
I would rather see David any fucking day than that stupid spine.
No, 1,000%.
That's horrific.
So basically, Adam then goes on a trip to Japan, and he says that everything was fine on the trip, but the last day of his trip, he walked past this statue in the park and saw the figure of a child with a dented head. So it just was a little coincidental.
That's a little weird.
Once he got back to his house, the electricity started acting up and multiple light bulbs would go out, and a new LED strip that he flashed on and off would flash on and off by itself without being powered on.
Fuck.
One early morning, he couldn't sleep, so he was getting ready to go to work, and he heard a scratch on his front door, and he took a picture of the peephole to see if anything was on the other side, and something's face was definitely there staring back at him.
No.
Which you can see in a picture that he has on Twitter.
Oh,
it's
fuck.
Definitely a Dear David-esque face.
Oh, God.
And then all of a sudden, there were no updates for a while, so people were freaking the fuck out.
Are you alive?
And then he said that some spiritual friends came over and tried blessing the place with things that seemed to work for a little bit. But then the next apartment update was around 11 p.m. one night, and Adam walked to the kitchen and noticed the cat staring out the window.
Oh.
The window looks out to a roof of a building next door, and before leaving the room, Adam saw that on the roof was someone standing on the roof staring at him.
Oh my God, I forgot about this part.
Which freaks me out too, because I have a story from when I was younger that there was definitely something in my room that I hated, and my stepmom blessed the room.
Fuck, I forgot about this.
So there, like, she blessed the room, so there was nothing that could get in my room anymore. But in the middle of the night, I would feel something staring at me from outside my window.
They couldn't
like,
get
desperate
in,
to get in.
But it was outside.
So it's interesting that they blessed the apartment, and all of a sudden, something's staring on the roof right next to his building, staring at him.
I am one large goosebump right now.
And so the window looks out to the roof and he saw someone standing there. And there's a whole thread of him like ducking under the sink and trying to look out the window to see if it was really there. But basically, he saw someone standing there for sure. So 10 days later...
You got a picture too, right?
There's a picture.
There's a literal picture of a
guy.
There's
pictures of everything I'm talking about right now.
Oh, right. Okay, so there is a picture of a guy standing on the fucking roof.
Yes.
Like, facing his window. Like, it's
way creepy.
Creepy as hell. Whether there's a... even if it's just a fucking dude on the roof, it's exactly. Terrifying.
So 10 days later, Adam dreamed about David again, and David was sitting by Adam's bed in a new chair since the green one has now been gone, because Adam was like, get this fucking chair out of here.
Oh, good.
But so now David's sitting on a different chair.
Oh, great.
And David stared at him, and Adam tried to move and somehow was able, because he has sleep paralysis. So David's staring at him. Adam's trying to move. He cannot. But somehow he's able to move his hand enough to grab his phone.
Oh, okay.
This is bananas. Adam says, quote, I thought, if David is going to kill me, maybe I can at least get evidence on my phone. And he began taking pictures at his side, like by his hip. He had the camera up on his phone and was taking pictures while David was there. David got off the chair and got face to face with Adam, muttering something, and then his eyes rolled back in his head until there was only white. While still muttering something, David climbed into Adam's bed, and then Adam woke up and it was broad daylight. A few days later, Adam went into the pictures on his phone for something, and he found pictures during his dream that confirmed that everything he experienced really happened.
Fuck.
So there are pictures of a little child with a dented head on a couch running towards his bed and standing there.
Fucking A, man.
It is the fucking creepiest, because this is like look at my... I'm like it's goosebump terrible. Central right now.
It's terrible.
Because the pictures, I'm not kidding. These it's not like a kind of a shadow. It's definitely a child running off the couch.
Christ, this is like so upsetting.
And so 2 weeks later, Adam updates everyone again, which, by the way, everyone's freaking out in between, being like, okay, so 2 weeks have gone by. You're not going to tell us what the fuck happened. Like, your last post was a ghost child running at you, and now we hear nothing for 2 weeks.
Right.
So 2 weeks later, Adam updates again, saying that he heard thumps and crashing above him, which was weird because he lived on the top floor of his duplex.
Oh, true.
And he did figure out that there was a crawl space above his ceiling.
Oh, absolutely not.
There was no access to the crawl space because to get to the entrance in his ceiling, it's really high above the stairs. So he would need a really tall ladder to actually reach it. And nobody should be able to reach that crawl space.
Right.
So the entrance was in the ceiling above the tall stairs and would definitely need a ladder balanced on the stairs to even get up there.
Got it. Okay.
So the sounds that he was hearing were like something was dropping and crashing onto the floor, and it sounded very intentional, like it was only doing it when he was listening.
Okay.
So something must have been in there, he thought. So he went online and bought a long pole to prop up the hatch of the attic door.
He's fucking brave.
And he got brave enough to peek inside. So at this point, the noises were so loud, he said it sounded like a bowling ball was being dropped in there.
Oh, God.
And one day he went down the stairs. He went, like, he wasn't playing with the crawl space at all, but he just was leaving his apartment, and he went down the stairs, and he saw dirt on the stairs right under the crawl space hatch door as if something had gotten out.
No.
He looked up, and there was something now wedged in the door of the hatch that had previously never been there before.
No.
So now it looks like, so it was a crawl space door that he never thought about. Then he's hearing all these sounds. He props the door up.
Yeah.
And then the next time he's there, all of a sudden there's dirt as if someone was shuffling out of there, and there's something kind of wedged in the doorway. So it looks like something has been in there.
Right.
So he goes back upstairs and grabs the pole, and he films himself doing this, which this video does exist. He filmed himself with the long pole, knowing that there was something wedged on in the door, and he was going to push the door up so whatever was wedged there would fall down.
Sure.
And he didn't know what it would be. So something did fall out on him. And he thought it was a dead bird or something. He said it might be a squirrel. When he looked at it, it was actually a small leather shoe.
It's the worst
like,
thing.
Like, from, like, old days. Like, an old-ass leather shoe.
Like a creepy, hand-sewn child's leather
shoe. Yes. And Adam called the landlord and was like, fuck this. You bring your own ladder. I need you to check out the crawl space up there.
Absolutely.
The landlord found nothing. And then he said, oh, wait, I found something. And he pulled out a very old green marble. With a dent in it.
No!
And he ended up later looking up this marble and found out that marbles like that with the dent in it only come from the early 1900s, because that was how they used to make marbles.
Oh, so it had like part of the manufacturing.
Right.
Oh, got it.
So the marble and the shoe looked like they were both from the 1900s.
Okay.
Early 1900s. So, poor choice, Adam took the shoe and marble and put them in his house.
What a fucking dummy.
So, like, you finally bless this guy out. He's on the roof because he can't get in. He ends up in the crawl space because it's technically not in your area, but he's getting closer to you. And then all of a sudden you welcomed him back in.
Jesus, I cannot.
So 2 weeks later, Adam says that he hasn't been feeling well and gets sudden bouts of dizziness and no longer sleeps well and has weird dreams. So
he no longer sleeps well because he's been sleeping so fucking well the past year. Good.
So sometimes he wakes up in the middle of the night and feels like he's being stared at. He feels malice and dread. And there are days that he's so tired he can barely function. So he's becoming a mess.
It's like driving him crazy.
After a few nights of this, Adam decides to use the nanny cam in his bedroom, but the cord wasn't long enough, so he used an app that takes a picture every minute and set the phone in the top corner of his room so he had a view of everything. Okay. So he's trying to just get any picture he can of what's happening while he's sleeping.
Right.
That night, he woke up in the middle of the night and decided to check his phone, and the first 100 pictures didn't have anything, but then Adam found a picture from a few minutes before, before he had woken up, of David standing on the couch by Adam's bed.
No.
Next photos show David standing, staring at the ceiling as if it's like looking at the camera, and then falling over and laying on the couch like he's playing dead or something, and then he was gone.
Ugh. So it looks at the camera.
Looks at the camera.
Fuck.
A few pictures later, David comes back, and he's now standing by the bed, staring at Adam inches from his face.
Ugh.
And then the next picture is David standing next to Adam and staring across the room directly at the camera again.
Oh my God.
So then the last picture taken before Adam wakes up is David pretty much like inches away from the camera. And like
the terrible
just,
thing is there's been a minute since the last photo. So it's like he's come closer.
He like has climbed all the way up towards the camera.
Oh my God.
So Adam says, I'm so exhausted. I don't know how to process it. Even now, all I want to do is sleep. The next update from Adam was him saying that he was visiting home for a couple weeks and he was feeling much better. He was less foggy and drained, almost like whatever was attached to him was going away. And he started feeling like if he moved, maybe David wouldn't follow him. But then while he was at home in Montana, while it was snowing, he woke up one night and saw something moving outside his window.
Oh,
and
God.
He stared long enough for his eyes to adjust. And then he saw someone moving to the side and hiding away from the window whenever he would look.
Oh, God.
He assumed it was an animal, but the next morning he went out and looked into the snow and didn't find any animal tracks, but he did find small human footprints that vanished in the middle of the field.
No!
In New York, he gets back and David says he feels like he's being watched again in the middle of the night, and the app that takes photos every minute is now being spotty. But one night Adam felt really sick and had awful dreams, and one was of David hovering in the corner of his ceiling, hovering in the air.
Fantastic.
In the corner of his ceiling, mouthing something to him.
No.
David then began hovering over his bed, still mouthing something, and faster than people should usually speak. So he's talking really fast.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know. How do they know that his mouth is moving if it's like photos?
I guess that, I don't know. Oh, wait, hang on. Oh, it's a, because it's a dream.
Oh, it's a dream.
So
oh,
he's
sorry.
Having a dream right now.
This
that
is photos. Okay,
no, he's having a dream that David is hovering over him and mouthing something really fast to
so
him.
It's fucking terrible because he's watching it happen.
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay.
So while Adam is unable to move in this dream, David then dropped down towards him, and Adam woke up to feeling pressure on his chest like the wind got knocked out of him. So that was the end of his dream. He woke up feeling like something like smacked
him. So he's like hovering over him and then fucking drops.
So
this is terrible.
So he goes over to the phone to see if any pictures got taken during this dream of this demon dented headed child hovering over him. And then all of a sudden you feel like the wind gets knocked out.
Right.
And the only picture that he found on his phone was of a child with a dented head falling on top of his body.
Wait, what? There's literally a photo of it.
There's literally a photo of it. So apparently as he wasn't dreaming, this thing was hovering over him and then dropped onto him. And that's when he woke up and saw the picture.
I'm going to lose my mind. This is terrible.
2 weeks later, Adam checks back in saying that he's actually feels really good and he has no more dreams and everything has stopped for now. But he has this weird feeling that something is off and he will lose hours of time with no memory of what happened.
Shit.
Or he will hear people talking to him. And when he asks them to repeat themselves, they haven't said anything.
Oh, no.
Then his photos on social media start warping themselves. He starts trying to post pictures and they're all coming out really fucked up.
Like on Instagram or something?
So like one picture in particular is from Instagram. Oh, and there's a picture that he posted that completely glitched on its own, and everything else in the picture looks fine except his face looks deformed as if he has a dent in his head.
Stop it, M.
So many people have thought that it looked like his face was no longer his, and since David has now made physical contact by dropping on top of his body, he is now becoming one with David.
Absolutely not.
Then people are hear nothing from Adam for another 2 weeks, and then a vague video comes out, very vague, makes no sense to this day, of Adam's cats looking scared and meowing, and it had no explanation or caption or anything, just cats meowing.
So no one knows why he posted it, really.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And some people have hypothesized that maybe it was like David, or Dear David, now having possessed Adam filming the cats or something like that. Very creepy. Then nothing again until Adam wrote an all undercase with weird spacing in between, which is nothing like his other tweets, so it seems very out of ordinary for him.
Sure.
All he wrote, undercase with multiple spaces in between the words, everything is fine.
Oh my god.
Then nothing again for another week and a half, until all of a sudden he says, please do not worry about me, I'm okay, and everything will be like it was before. Nothing again. And then an update from him saying, I'm doing okay. It's been pretty quiet around here lately, and I've been trying to focus on work. Of course, I'll keep you updated if anything strange happens, but for now, I'm staying busy with other projects. Which caused a lot of controversy because people thought if the pictures were doctored or if he set this up for a video camera, they think that this could have all been fake because he was in the middle of writing a book.
Oh,
so
right.
Maybe it was for publicity.
And he worked for like BuzzFeed or something, right?
Right. So he like, maybe all this was just an act. So... the last update was on June 6th of 2018, and it was that a Dear David film was in the works being produced by Dan Lin, who was also the producer of It.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
And that is the whole story of Dear David.
I just don't know. I mean, this is terrible. It's terrible.
It's truly bananas.
It's, like, so scary.
I feel like I was just running through that, but it was just so much information.
There's so much. Well, I mean... And, like, my first thought always when with something like that and someone acts weird is, like, carbon monoxide.
Right, right.
Like, people go see things.
Sure,
and, like,
yeah.
But the fact that there are, like, photos and stuff,
yeah.
It's just not okay.
It's and all of that, like I said, I know there's one on Bustle. I know on his actual Twitter, I think it's his pinned tweet, but somewhere on his Twitter, he actually has a link where he saved all of his Dear David threads and put them all in, like, one big space for you to read them chronologically.
Okay.
So you can also look there for all the pictures and videos. But it is worth your time if you're feeling like getting creeped out.
And it's very creepy. Like, if you're like, oh, it's just a Twitter thread.
And they're not
like,
they're not doctored pictures. This is, like,
scary.
Real stuff.
It's very
in
scary.
In my opinion. Anyway.
In my humble opinion.
IMHO.
Anyway. Wow, that's so fucking spooky. Gives me chills.
So, for everyone who wasn't at the New York Gramercy Theater show.
Right.
I hope you enjoyed this little insight. But also, I'm so sorry you didn't get the pictures and the reaction that everyone had from when the light blew out. So.
I like that I got to actually swear and scream and be a psycho during it because I didn't get that opportunity on stage.
Yay!
That one spooks me so fucking much.
It's way creepy.
Real quick, because I forgot, also for speaking of live shows, we have a bunch in Florida next week, and I don't think we've like advertised that much, so
no, please come to our Florida
we
shows.
We haven't sold that many tickets down there, so like please, Florida, show up if you can. We have a ton of cities and tickets. So.
Yes, if you feel like trotting all over Florida, please come to every show
and
if you're
I
at it.
I will tell you, for true crime, you guys know I'm going to have some good stuff.
Very excited.
I'm amped. Anyway.
If thinking about salsa in a variety of delicious flavors and heat levels makes your mouth water, you need to check out Green Mountain Gringo. And make sure to turn the jar around and take a look at its clean backside, a list of its all-natural ingredients. Of course, that's what I meant, of course. And all their products are preservative-free, too. With the medium salsa, you get hearty chunks of tomatoes, tomatillos, peppers, and onions in every scoop. I'm reading the ad and my mouth is watering. Anyway, the hot salsa brings flavorful heat to every meal with each bite containing jalapenos, serrano peppers, and other savory herbs. Plus, they've got a hot sauce with a tangy, spicy flavor that enhances the simplest of meals. It's perfect for avocado egg toast or tacos. I sort of feel like they're reading my mind because I put salsa on almost everything, but specifically I use their salsa. I use usually the medium salsa and then also the hot sauce on my avocado egg toast. And I don't know how the script knew that. Maybe everybody eats this, but I always make toast with avocado and then I put scrambled eggs on top and I put salsa. I can't eat it without salsa. And the Green Mountain Gringo is always there for me in the fridge because it really adds to, I mean, any meal if you're me, but definitely the eggs avocado toast situation. Visit greenmountaingringo.com and start shopping. Use the store locator to find Green Mountain Gringo products, get inspiration for recipes, and purchase products using promo code PODCAST24 for 20% off. That's promo code PODCAST24. And don't forget to check out their backside.
And That's Why We Drink is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You won't want to miss Fluid Engine. This is a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And I'll be honest, this is a game-changer. Back when I made the And That's Why We Drink website, I used Squarespace. This was obviously well before they were a sponsor, and we have used them ever since. And it's unbelievable how easy this tool is. If any of us, that's the coolest part, any of us on the team can log in and move some things around, update things. We don't need like a dedicated webmaster to figure it out for us because it's so accessible. I love Squarespace. I've made many websites with it before, and it's really easy to get started. You can get one of their Squarespace professional website templates to use. They have designs for every category and use case. Then you can customize your look, update content, add features to fit your unique needs. It's just a really, really cool service. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/drink to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
And we're back.
Yes. I'm very excited to hear what you have for me.
Okay, hold on. We just recorded our Facebook Live for February, guys.
We took a little hiatus.
Grabbed a beer.
Ate some hot sauce.
It's National Wine Day, but I'm drinking beer, so sorry.
I have not tried the Bayou Love Potion yet, but I have tried the Bourbon Street Hot Party in Your Mouth sauce.
Yeah.
And I've also tried the Louisiana Execution. As predicted, Louisiana Execution is currently my favorite.
Yes.
It's really, I have done probably 10 dollops already. little shooters.
Off the finger.
Mm. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, and I still have chips from Chipotle downstairs.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeehaw. Oh, my goodness.
Let's hope Al didn't eat them.
Damn it. Okay. Anyway, tell me your story.
Okay. Sorry. We're back. I'm going to tell you, can I test this real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. We're on. So, I'm going to tell you a story that I told in D.C., and I guarantee you don't remember it because your mother was there, and I think you blacked out the whole thing.
Just about every second of that entire trip, yes.
Fantastic. So, this is the story of the murder of Viola Drath.
Yep, don't remember.
Great, thanks. Sorry. I was hoping you'd at least pretend, but okay.
Oh, I loved it! I loved when you talked about that girl Viola in it.
Okay. So, Viola, we're going to just jump into it. This is one that I was like amped about doing live, and I'm amped about telling you again.
Okay.
So this is Viola. She was born in Dusseldorf in 1920 in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
She lived the high life in post-World War II Germany and learned English at a young age on vacations around the world, as well as her time in a boarding school in Scotland. So she was very much like high society, basically. While living in Munich as a playwright in her 20s, she met the man who would become her future husband. His name was Lieutenant Colonel Francis S. Drath, and it was love at first sight.
Aww.
I know, it's very precious. So they got married, and they moved, as you do, from Munich, Germany, to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. As you do.
We've all done it.
I've been there, okay? I just got out.
We just did it.
Just got out of Nebraska.
You fall in love, you move to Nebraska. It's just the way it goes. And, you know, for better or for worse.
C'est la vie.
C'est la vie. But despite the culture shock, obviously she's literally lived in Germany and Scotland her whole life.
Right. Welcome to Nebraska.
Welcome to the heart of America. she adjusted actually really well. She got an advanced degree in literature.
Oh, hey-o.
Yeah, and this is like, you know, well, I don't know how to do math, but, you know, she was born in 1920 and was, so it was like the 50s. So
okay.
This was like not that normal for a woman to get an advanced degree.
Education for a woman? But they don't have a brain. Reading
and writing?
How do they do that?
How do they hold a pen?
Weird.
They can only hold a spatula.
And a baby.
Oh, and a baby. So, right. So she got an advanced degree. And also she was married. So, I mean, she did have a lot of money. So there was that. But, sure. like, there was that no helps. Need for her to get a degree, basically.
Got it.
As far as, like, finances. So she gets an advanced degree in literature and philosophy. And she starts working as an editor of a German newspaper in Nebraska. She had her own show on local TV. And she was also an American correspondent for a German magazine. So she's, like, working her butt off.
Just doing what she needs to do.
Yeah. So after their stint in Nebraska, Viola and her husband moved to D.C. to continue working their way up in their careers. They were basically this, like, intense power couple. So her husband, Francis, the Colonel, as he was nicknamed.
Love it.
And he was actually a colonel, but that was his nickname. He worked for the government, and he took care of their daughters, while Viola would jet set to New York and Germany to cover fashion shows and build up her social circle. So it's pretty cute because he's like this high up guy in the military and the government, and he is like watching the kids back at home, and she's like building up her journalism career. So,
got it.
Pretty baller.
Doing whatever she needs to do.
So at the time, she befriended Norman Mailer, Henry Kissinger, and other high status people. She was described as a notable figure in German-American relations, which is like a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. And in addition to German-American politics, she regularly wrote about culture, fine art, and political gossip.
Ooh.
So she was just a badass, basically.
Yeah, she's covering all of her spots.
All of the facets of
life.
Of things.
Of life.
And things in life. And
interests in culture.
Interests, culture, Nebraska, etc.
She's got it all down.
Got it. Just like us.
Well, not as well as us, I think.
No, but nobody.
No one can compare.
So on top of all this, she and her husband, Francis, are living in Georgetown, D.C. Mm-hmm. at this point. They were this charming couple. They were high up on the social ladder. They had this beautiful townhome. Like, I mean, anyone who's been to Georgetown knows, like, how expensive and nice those houses are.
Very she.
I remember talking during the show about my ex-boyfriend who lived in Georgetown, and we would go to, like, lacrosse parties in those stupid houses, and I just...
Love it.
It's just so stupid. I hate it. Not my proudest moment. So anyway, I have to sneeze.
Don't.
Fuck you.
Did it work?
Sort of.
Oh, but not enough. Not enough for old Christine and that nose of hers.
It's like a rabbit. Scratchy. Okay. Anyway, so they are this like charming couple. Everyone loves them. They're both super successful. They have a beautiful family. Yada, yada, yada. In the early 80s, Viola is at a news conference where she meets a young teenage intern from Germany, and his name is Albrecht Muth.
Woohoo!
Yes. Now,
Albrecht
told Viola he was a devotee of her work and had started reading her column in his youth.
In his youth.
I'm like, you're a teenager, you asshole.
So when you were 8.
What a fucking weirdo. In his youth. He's like, I didn't watch Power Rangers, I read your
TED Talk. Yeah.
TED Talk.
I mean, in my youth, I was reading Nickelodeon Magazine, please.
That's true.
I was starting young.
Nickelodeon Magazine, please. Albrecht told Viola, I already told you that. So he took her out to lunch at a local schnitzel joint. I'm not making that up.
Mm.
And I'm like, where was that when I lived in D.C.? I don't know.
Right.
And although he had only recently moved to D.C. to study at American University.
Ayo.
My alma mater.
And Allison's.
That's right. That's true.
Oh, where your love began. I
totally forgot about that. Like, right. Al went there too.
Yeah.
It's kind of where we met.
It's kind of where we all met.
God, I met her when she was 17. Isn't that weird? Anyway.
Aw. Little Allison.
We were babies.
Her youth.
Our youths. Yes. So Viola was impressed how... You should have seen how many like TED Talks we watched back then.
Okay. I love a good TED Talk though. So
I don't think they existed in that year.
No, I just love them now. Mm. I love a good TED Talk.
No, me too. Just not in my youth, probably.
No.
So Viola was impressed by how intelligent, witty, and driven he was. They stuck up They struck up a friendship/mentorship, and soon he started coming over to her and Francis's house unannounced all the time.
Got it.
He was an odd duck, is what I wrote.
Well, welcome to the club.
He once showed up at their house wearing an eye patch. I mean, to be fair, you've shown up at my house wearing weirder things.
I mean, you're not wrong. I can't think of any right now, but I know you're right.
He once showed up at their house wearing an eye patch and claiming he was in the way of an assassination attempt in Paraguay.
Oh, okay.
They were like, okay, guy. He's like literally 18.
And he was like testing out ideas for his own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
He's like, here's a story. Does it stick?
Does it work?
Nope.
Do people like me?
I wear the eye patch on the other eye? Oh, is that what the problem
is? That's what it is.
Yep.
I knew my dimple looked better on this side.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to Viola and Francis. Unfortunately, Francis, the colonel, had been battling cancer. And on January 11th of 1986, he passed away. He and Viola had been married for 40 years. And they had a really, really beautiful, happy life together. So Viola at this point is 66, and she really did not take her husband's passing well. They've been together since she was like in her early 20s.
Got
like, it. It's just very hard on her. She had always had such a busy schedule with work and travel and her social life that she had kind of relied heavily on Francis for keeping care of the, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids. And so this was like a complete shift for her to try and figure out, like, she literally didn't know how to go grocery shopping. Yeah, like she couldn't do basic day-to-day stuff because she had relied on him for all of it. So she was pretty much lost. So, of course, her good pal comes to the rescue. Albrecht Mut starts popping up all the time.
With his eye patch.
I was going to say.
Sometimes,
I would imagine. I like to picture it with the eye patch.
Yeah.
he begins showing Viola a lot more attention and affection. She's impressed by his grasp on politics. Keep in mind, she's like 66. He's like 18, 19. He's like in his maybe early 20s now, or like around 20.
Sure.
He's very young.
Still young.
Put it that way. In his 20s, I believe. So he begins showing her a lot more affection. She's impressed by his grasp on politics, international affairs, etc. He also just gives her company when she needs it most. He would come over unannounced for tea all the time, and sometimes he would serenade her on the baby grand piano.
Well.
It is kind of like when you come over, isn't it?
I mean, I really I try my best to impress you all the time. I don't want our love to die,
no.
You see.
Well, no, obviously.
Gotta keep you on your toes.
You're just waiting for Blaze to die so you can serenade me more often.
So, well, I mean, so I can at least sign papers so Gio's half mine. Yes.
Well, okay, there's that too.
We know what's coming.
I like to pretend it's for me, but it's mostly for Gio.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm not gonna say you're wrong.
So after a few months of this, Albrecht shows up unannounced as usual. This time he's wearing a tux, shows up with a bottle of French champagne.
As you do.
Gets down on one knee and proposes to Viola, and she accepts. So 4 years after the death of her first husband, Viola Drath, now 70 years old, marries 26-year-old Albrecht Mut. There is a 44-year difference in their ages.
Oh my word.
Quite a shock to all her friends' family.
How old is she? 70?
70.
Holy moly.
He is 26. After their marriage, Albrecht's eccentricity skyrockets.
Mm-hmm.
He takes over the domestic duties that the colonel once performed, except with this weird, like, formal air to it. So when visitors would come by, he would serve them tea, then, like, bow, really exaggerated.
I love it. How I do some. Every now and then,
what a cool guy. I mean, I did
every
just
now
go
and
to
then
your...
I ring on the doorbell and you open the door and I give one bow and I keep eye contact the whole time.
You give me a cup of tea that's cold because you drove all the way from Burbank. Yeah. And it's usually Starbucks. Let's be real. But then...
I try my best. As long as I play the baby grand before I leave,
that's
everything's
all I need.
Good.
You know, that's all I need. So, right. So he'd serve tea, take an exaggerated bow, and then leave the room. And all these people who are friends with Viola, who are like in their 60s and 70s, are like, what the fuck is this kid? Like, what is he doing? It's just very strange. Around this time, he had also fabricated a story that an elderly German count had fallen from an elephant in India.
Well,
and
when don't they?
When don't they? Am I right?
Classic move.
And needed to appoint a successor before dying. So from that point forward, Mut insisted on being called Count Albrecht, or... if you knew him pretty well, Count Albi.
Again. I'm not saying he's copying me left and right, but
yeah.
They don't call me the Count for nothing, you know? Mm. Also, homie, your boobies are showing. What's going on?
Listen, it's all this talk of baby grands and
oh
tea.
My gosh. I just thought, I was like, I like the purple in your shirt. And I was like, oh, that's your bra.
I just, listen, I can't control myself.
It's okay. I understand.
It's the eye patch. It's the piano. They're hitting every point.
We should have had that going on for a third love ad real quick.
Yeah.
Next time we're doing a third love ad, just don't wear a shirt. Got
it? A third love bra, you guys.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow.
Yeah, I literally only wear them.
They didn't even pay for this ad.
It's just walked in.
I was like, I like the purple in your shirt. And I was like, that's not a shirt. It was like this color. I don't know if you're trying to match or something. Blaze is shaking his head. Like
Blaze loves this.
Oh, also, wait, Blaze, you want to shake your head even more? Here. At the same time. Oh, Gio. You're saying, Mommy, keep your shirt on. What's wrong? And also, get rid of Lemon.
Dude, why is Lemon still here?
Because Lemon's my friend.
God.
Getting rid of Lemon.
No, why would I get rid of Lemon? He's my friend.
She brought it in her purse.
Blaze, I was up at that altar with you, and I gave you an out. You could have said, no, I don't. But instead,
yeah, you
said I do.
Lemon wasn't in the picture at that
Yeah, you're right. Lemon joined the party later.
In sickness and in health, Blaze. That's what you agreed to.
And in lemon.
And in lemon.
Wait, get it? Wait. In citrus and in health.
Get out of here. Bye, Blaze. I'm very jealous he gets to leave.
Did you hear what he said?
No.
I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm taking the dog. I'm taking the cat.
The scariest thing he could have said. I'm not doing this anymore. Okay, hey, guys. I buttoned my shirt.
Button it all the way to the neck this time.
Please, if this ever happens truly in a live show, you have to fucking tell me, because that's horrifying. Okay. Yeah, this is, you guys are getting more of a show than the people in DC did, by
guys,
the way.
We got hot sauce, we got boobies, we got lemons.
Mummified lemons. We got Blaze really hating it.
We got Blaze like signing divorce papers.
Yes, wow. Anyway, okay, so he says he's now a count, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, well, don't worry, this guy fell off an elephant, so now I'm a count.
Right, that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. So following the end of the Iraq War in 2003, let me say that again.
I heard Iraq War in 2003.
Iraq, I said it weird.
Iraq? Look, we already just talked about your Iraq.
Okay, that was loud. Oh, okay. Following the end of the Iraq War in 2003, he suddenly adopted the rank and wore the uniform of a brigadier general in the Iraqi army.
Oh, wow.
Going so far as to organize diplomatic events in D.C. that he claimed were for the new Iraqi regime. Mm-hmm. He even managed to arrange a ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery to honor fallen American soldiers on behalf of the Iraqi regime. Okay. Keep in mind, all of this is made up. Like, he's just inventing this.
Like, just every day he's waking up with a new story.
He's just coming up with, like, this bullshit.
He's like, we've pushed the envelope. Let's see how far we can really get it going.
Let's rip the envelope in half and see what happens.
Let's shred it into pieces.
Put it in the shredder. and set it on fire. So he even made up, this is fun, a family crest.
Get out.
I feel like in high school I knew people who pulled shit like that.
I think I always, when people I was younger, I thought like crests were more important because I thought you got to customize them. Like, when
I mean, you did like 500 years ago.
True. But I think like as a child, my mentality of it was every like descendant, every
oh dear
new generation gets to add something else. That's why they were like so elaborate. So I was like, oh, this person added an otter and this person had a bird.
Oh, I'll put the slime recipe on it.
I thought for sure. I was like, SpongeBob is absolutely going in our crest.
Both of ours would have matched.
Them. Right.
Right, so he makes up a crest for himself. Like, this is just bonkers, by the way. This guy's literally, like, in the high society in D.C. in the 2000s. Like, this is very recent. This is not, like, old-timey.
Okay.
So he makes up this crest. But, so he's eccentric, obviously. Mm-hmm. Quote-unquote eccentric. But it turns out that his life with Viola was actually a lot darker than it seemed from the outside. In 92, so this is, we're all the way in 2003, but looking back, like, in 92, Albrecht was convicted of beating Viola, the beginning of a rap sheet that would chronicle numerous cases of domestic abuse. Is that my phone?
That's my phone. Go ahead.
He once punched her in the face for interrupting a phone call.
Well, you just interrupted my phone call.
Oh, God.
Come over here. No.
Yeah, so, right, he once punched her in the face for interrupting a phone call. Keep in mind, she's in her 70s, and he's, like, in his 20s.
That's horrible.
One night they were staying at the plaza, and he threw her clothes into the hall and locked her out of the room for the night. And
poor,
she,
poor woman.
Yeah, she ended up having to, like, call her friend, and it was, like, so mortifying, because she's, like, been... She's, like, created her own life, and she's been,
and she's, like, just, like, this big, strong, successful, powerful woman.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden, now she's, like, at the hands of this guy.
Exactly. And, like, with her husband of 40 years, like...
Who respected and loved her.
Total respect, right? Like, supported her, and now there's this, like, asshole who's taking advantage of her and, like...
Right.
Beating the shit out of her. And
oh, my God.
And so she has to call her friends and be, like... Hey, remember that guy that you like fucking hate who bows at you all the time? Like,
right, with the eye patch.
With the eye patch. You remember him, yeah. Right? Like, he just pushed me out into the hallway of a hotel room I paid for and like,
but also to like, pick me up. Especially at 70 years old, like, you don't push anyone.
No.
Like, that's like just an extra. The pushing alone is like just.
Yeah, you don't fucking treat anyone that way.
Whew.
But like, come on. Like, what are you doing?
Anyway. Yeah.
So, meanwhile, he's also actively having affairs with men.
Okay.
Surprise! At one point, he even moved in with a boyfriend, whom he also domestically abused aggressively before being kicked out by the man.
PSA, abuse can happen to anyone.
To anyone.
It's not just women.
Oh, absolutely. And by anyone, also.
Yes, it can also be women.
Yeah. So, like, good for that guy he was with to kick him out, but the only sad downside was then he moved back in with Viola. So, like,
yes,
it's just a bad cycle. Albrecht once insulted Viola's daughter, who was, like, a grown woman who also had a successful career.
Yeah.
And when Viola defended her, Albrecht swung a chair at her, then repeatedly pounded her head against the floor.
Oh, no.
After she called 911 and had him arrested, Albrecht left for a while, claiming to be in Iraq, working side by side with big Whig officials to end the war. Meanwhile, when he called Viola, his area code showed up as Miami, Florida.
What the hell?
She's like, I'm not that stupid.
Right.
But despite all this, somehow he was able to woo her back. And I think people, her friends and her daughter and like her kids and family friends say, like, she was just in such a bad place after her husband died. Like, she just needed someone to be there for her. Like, it was just, he just took advantage of a very vulnerable person.
Of course.
So to this day, there's no evidence that he actually ever stepped foot in Iraq, despite this many years, like decades of acting like he was some sort of like Iraqi consul member.
Right.
And like was hosting events at Arlington. Like, it's just so bananas. So there's no proof that he had ever stepped foot in Iraq. But when he finally returned to Georgetown, he began walking the streets in the Iraqi uniform, which is an olive uniform with a red beret.
Mm-hmm.
So he just started wandering DC.
I can't believe this. I'm sorry. He's just this the most ridiculous flamboyant person I've ever met.
Like, out of control. And he's like in his 20s. Like, he's not like an eccentric old man who's like earned the right to be an eccentric old man.
Which I am on my way to doing, by the way.
Which, like, someday we will be those people, but I feel like at least we'll be nice to other people.
Right, but weird as shit and abusive.
No, yeah. Terrible.
And a compulsive liar and
totally
all this
narcissistic, etc. So once again, things, like, he's back in Georgetown. Things escalate at home. Surprise, surprise. Viola is now 90 years old.
Poor woman.
Terrible.
And they're still together?
Yeah.
So he's 40-ish now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he's 36.
36. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. Look at me go.
Wow.
Wait, is that right? No. Fuck. That's wrong.
Well, if she was 70 when he was 26 and now she's 90, he's 46.
Yeah. That's what I meant. Damn. Fuck. I was so proud of myself.
I was like, wow, look at you doing simple math. And I was like, oh, never mind. Good, not great.
That's so sad.
It's okay. You've got you're two beers in today.
Why did my parents pay for my private education? The world will never
something
know.
I ask Linda every single day. I'm like, why did you do this?
I do too. Okay. Once again, things escalated at home. Viola's 90 at this point. Although she knew that Albrecht monitored her emails and even sometimes sent emails under her name to people, like would just go in her account and like email people.
Mm-hmm.
She was too frustrated with technology to create a new account, so she like just was like, whatever,
got it,
I'm just gonna keep using the one I have. Over the years, she had lost touch with many friends and acquaintances because of Albrecht.
Mm-hmm.
They all hesitated to invite her places for fear that Albrecht would come too.
Yeah,
her church even banned him from entering the building.
Wow.
It's like when a church fucking bans you,
right?
So at this point, a lot of people had called Albrecht out on his shit, obviously. So he spent most of his time at home. He would lounge on the couch drinking most days, would frequently send Viola long, nasty emails from the other room, berating her, telling her how her...
From the other room?
Yeah.
Like, in the same house together?
Yeah, because he never left the house. So she would be, like, in her bedroom or whatever, and he'd be, like, in the living room writing her nasty emails. And the emails berated her, told her how her accomplishments meant nothing. He was the only reason she had ever had any success. She amounted to nothing.
So everything you ever did before you even met me is because of me.
Yeah.
Got it.
Or it was worthless.
That's
it,
logical.
It doesn't matter. Right. And like, she's just a piece of... Like, he's just emotionally abusing her left and right. On top of physically abusing her.
Right.
So on one afternoon in 2011, Albrecht met up with a friend he had met on Craigslist. You know how you do.
Oh, yeah.
In Nebraska. The friend didn't drink, but Albrecht got belligerently drunk and ended up staggering to his, well, Viola's house, I guess, staggered home at 10 p.m. This is a fun fact. He called their home, so his name was Albrecht, he called it the Albrectory, like a rectory.
I hate that I love it. I don't want to love it.
I hate it because he invented that he was, like, all these weird titles and shit.
But if there was a way to name, like, my place after me, I would find a way to do it.
I mean, there is, like, your Wi-Fi name. Like, just do that.
Oh, that's true.
Just, like, do that. Like, how ours is, like, Gio's house or whatever. Just, like,
is it?
Do that. Yeah. Or it used to be in our old apartment.
Mine's Marty McWi-Fly.
Oh, well, see, that's good. You're good.
I know.
No, we need to change it.
You're right. You're right.
Ours was Gio's house for a long time. I don't know what it is here. I think it's Wi-Fi E4568 or something clever like that.
So if you see that on your Wi-Fi, you might be a neighbor.
Ooh. Okay, so the Albrechtery, because he's just, it's not even his house, by the way. Like, that's the thing. It's not his house. He doesn't, lives there, but it's not his house. So he had gotten so drunk that his friend wrote him an email saying, like, this friend he met on Craigslist said, I really don't feel comfortable meeting up with you ever again.
Wow.
Because, like, you were so out of control. just to give you an idea of how fucking belligerently drunk this guy got. So the very next morning, on August 12th, so that was that night, he met up with a friend, got belligerently drunk, headed home to the Albrechtery. The next morning, police got a call from Albrecht. This was August 12th, 2011. Albrecht called the police saying he had returned home from his morning walk to find his wife Viola's body on the bathroom floor.
Oh, no.
At this point, she's 91 years old, so police assume it had been a fall.
Mm-hmm.
But the medical examiner quickly realized that Viola's scalp was bruised, her thumbnail was torn.
Sorry, just go on.
You talked about spines, I will talk about fingernails. And the cartilage in her neck was fractured.
Oh my god.
She had also been strangled. And they determined she had been strangled and bludgeoned to death.
Mm.
As soon as Viola's death was ruled a homicide, Albrecht said she was killed. Just buckle up. Albrecht said she was killed as a result of a failed Iranian assassination attempt on him.
Get the fuck out of here.
He's such a piece of shit.
Oh my god.
Then he presented family members with a letter stating that he would collect $150,000 upon his wife's death. He's like, look at this letter I found.
Bingo, here it is.
Wow, what a surprise. It took the police only 4 days to collect enough evidence to arrest him.
Good.
During that period, they forbade him from entering his home. So instead, he slept in a Georgetown park wearing a perfectly tailored houndstooth blazer.
Oh my god.
Such a fucking nut job. So let's do a quick run through. Because like throughout the trial, he was just an absolute
nightmare.
Whack job. Like, okay, just great. So beyond nightmare, whack job. And so I'm just going to give you like a little run through of how he behaved. During the preliminary hearing, Albrecht shows up in his orange prison jumpsuit with a popped collar and insisted on keeping the collar popped.
Like he's a 12-year-old in 2005 or something.
He just learned what Aeropostale
remember
was.
the double collar pop?
Oh,
that was a bananas time.
I've been trying to forget that for 2 decades.
Well, welcome back to Puka Shell Land.
Oh, help me. During his first appearance in court, he complains that corrections officers want him to wear underwear, saying, quote, I am a serving officer in the Iraqi Special Forces.
Oh my god, with it.
We don't wear underwear. And they're like, what?
What the hell?
His second appearance at court, he announces that he would serve as his own attorney, which we always know is a really good sign.
I mean, it's my favorite way to do things.
Yes, we always know that the most sane people do that.
It's exactly how you get out of everything.
Exactly. It's most effective.
Most effective.
Be your own attorney.
Real attorneys shouldn't even exist.
No,
apparently.
What's the point of them?
Why? When you got yourself.
When all these people can do it themselves.
There it is.
I would like to hire him as my attorney also.
Oh.
Did you hear he's a special forces?
You get him, I get Ted Bundy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Done.
Second appearance in court, he announces that he would serve as his own attorney and that he would begin, quote, an unlimited fast.
Great.
For what point? Nobody knows. When doctors pleaded with him to eat, Albrecht told them that he was following orders from the Archangel Gabriel.
I'm going to lose my mind.
They needn't worry about his ability to survive because he was comparable to a camel.
Was he?
He said he was also comparable to Jesus. I'm telling you, he's just fucking derailed. Like,
at this point, I hope even he knows. He's like, I've lost it.
He's like,
I'm not okay.
I just closed my eyes and like threw myself into a hole.
And it's like, whatever, I'm just going to close my eyes and whatever image shows up first is going to be the next thing I talk about.
Camel.
Right.
And there's Jesus. Right. So he's a camel. He's also Jesus. So he doesn't need to eat because an angel told him to.
That's the least crazy things he's said, by the way.
And like the least harmful thing he's done to anybody right. else, which is just beyond. So on Thursday, January 16th, 2014, a jury deliberates only about 3 hours before finding Albrecht Muth, who's now 49, guilty of beating and strangling socialite and journalist Viola Hermsdrath. He was sentenced to 50 years in prison.
Ooh, so basically death.
Well, yeah. I mean, it depends on parole, I think. But 50 years, I don't think is too long. He's in his 40s, so.
Got it.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly life.
Depending on his genetics.
Depending on if he ever fucking eats again.
Right.
And his genetics. The story,
but if he's Jesus, like, who cares, right?
He'll that's true.
Walk right out of iron bars.
I mean, as far as I know, he's friends with Archangel Gabriel, so.
And camels,
so, like.
And eye patches.
He's got everything covered. The story of Viola Drass' murder is currently being made into a movie called Georgetown.
Ooh.
Or there's, like, two titles.
Working titles.
Yeah, two working titles. It's either Georgetown or The Worst Marriage in Georgetown.
Well, they're both accurate.
Very on the nose, yeah. I think. Starring and directed by my boyfriend, Christoph Waltz.
Oh.
Which, when we did this live, the draw, and that's why we draw was Christine's boyfriend, and we got quite a few weird. I remember there was one with like plays, and then they drew like a German Speedo. It was like a whole thing.
I remember, and I don't know if this was the same place where we covered the story, but one of the DC shows are, and that's why we draw, was phallic worshiping. And wow, do I regret that. I've never seen that many dicks.
I think that might have been the same day, because there were Speedos in mine, penises galore in yours. Like
just, oh my God, so many penises.
It was a, yeah, it was rough.
Sausage Fest.
Sausage Fest. That's what our working title of our podcast is.
Yeah, it was originally called Sausage Fest, fun
Did
fact.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
We're still considering going back to that.
We might go back. I mean, after the next 100 episodes, we'll just do a little like throwback title.
I don't think anyone will notice if we change it.
Not at all.
Mm. Right, so that is the story of the murder of Viola Drath.
I love it. I hate it.
Bonkers, isn't it?
But I love it.
Like, I didn't even know that existed until, and I lived there. I mean, you lived there. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd never heard of it before. And it's pretty recent, so.
Yeah.
Crazy. I did have a horoscope that I had written out for that show.
Love it.
So, what's his name? I almost called him Christoph. Albrecht.
We're not talking about your boyfriend anymore,
Whoops!
Okay?
Oh, damn it. I want to, though. So Albrecht was a Taurus. Is a Taurus. Mm-hmm. He's still alive. Born May 10th.
Okay.
So listen up. The most nutritious breakfast you could have today is a big bowl of bravado.
Oh my goodness.
If you step out into the world acting like you own it, by the end of the day, you just might.
Oh my word.
I think he actually did read this horoscope.
I think he's the one who said this in the mirror to himself as his daily affirmation.
He wrote this. No, he took Viola's fucking email account, sent it into like
there it is.
The daily, the DC.
He's like, I have a hunch that you should say this.
He's like, yeah. Washington Post here. Now I write. This is Viola. I wrote a horoscope.
Actually, the Iraqi war told me that you should say this out
There's
loud.
There's this Iraqi angel that came to me. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Treat yourself like the mover and shaker you hope to be, and others will see you as such.
Uh-oh.
Hit a 45-minute vinyasa flow class, or settle back in the massage chair and enjoy a power nap and a pedicure.
Mm.
Don't let drama at home seep into your 9-to-5. Maybe take a trip to a farmer's market to pick up some dark leafy greens.
Oh my goodness.
And seasonal goodies like beets and squash. Okay, well, the end kind of derailed, but but the beginning was pretty spot on.
But also, wouldn't he derail? It's very him.
Yes, you're right.
So it's like, and also, bravado and squash.
You know what? And also, it is telling him to buy a lot of food, and like, he is fasting, as far as I know.
True.
So like, maybe it's like, just
it's still on the nose a
eat
little
a fucking
bit.
Piece of lettuce.
Perfect.
Anyway, so that's the story of Viola Drath that we covered in November. Wild.
Wilds. Well, thank you for that. Thank you guys for listening to our stories and our very long rant in the beginning, but
yes,
we had a lot to say to you.
We did.
Thank you so much for everyone listening. If you want to reach us or find us or stay in touch with us or keep updated with
find
anything
Wi-Fi
we want to do,
45283 and you're here.
Marty McWifly, and the password is plutonium.
You gave yours too.
If you are interested in keeping up with us, you can find our social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at ATWWD Podcast. You can also find our website, and that's whatwedrink.com. You can look up our tour dates on that website as well, and that's whatwedrink.com/live. You can also send us emails at andthatswhatwedrink@gmail.com. And if you would like to submit your personal true crime and paranormal stories, you can do them to that email. And maybe they will be in the running for our next listeners episode that we do at the first of every month.
That's right. March 1st coming up.
And also, please, 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 we have a lot of shows coming out, especially in Florida right now in
yes.
March. We have a lot of Florida shows. And I think only maybe one of them is sold out. I don't even know.
None of them are sold out.
So there's tickets to all of them. So
some
please
of them also
come.
Have meet and greet VIP passes. So like, please check those out, because like, that's pretty awesome. Usually those sell out pretty fast. Florida is not showing up like we want it to, guys.
I know. So let's sell out. Let's do some
Come
cool
on,
things.
Because so, otherwise we can't go back.
Exactly. The we've said it before, and it has really worked in the past of, you know, because we have sold out so many shows in certain cities, it's pretty much guaranteed we're going to go back to those cities
right.
at some point. So if we don't
Florida,
sell out
come on.
Certain places in Florida,
we
won't be going back.
We want to be warm in March. Let us go there again, please.
So please help us out, and we appreciate you listening to us every week.
Yeah, thanks, guys. We're so happy that you're here, and we'll be back. We also
and
do that noise. That's
why we.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.